This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Maine chef Kathy Gunst shares seasonal recipes for an endless summer. And we get Brady Carlson's latest scan of viral oddities you just gotta see for yourself for our Here's What's Awesome Roundup. But first, whether heralded as awesome, a distraction, or temporary attention grabber, social media may not be the be-all, end-all of communication today. People still share their opinions and desires to each other via our favorite method, word of mouth. That's according to the Keller Fay Group, a research and consulting company founded by Ed Keller and Brad Fay. Ed and Brad are also authors of the Face-to-Face book, Why Real Relationships Rule in a Digital Marketplace. Keller Fay is also partnering with the National Journal to track Americans' online and face-to-face conversation about the 2012 presidential race. Since we hear and talk so much on this program about the volume and influence of social media, we asked Brad Fay to stop by while he was vacationing in New Hampshire. The Face-to-Face book compares the frenzy over social media to the gold rush. So I asked Brad, is there gold in them there hills?
Well, certainly there are people getting rich. So yes, there's certainly a rush about it. But we also think that there's a little bit of excess enthusiasm going on as well, looking at social media online as the be-all and end-all, the future of marketing and meaning the death of advertising and other forms of media. We just don't think that's right.
And you found that actual face-to-face conversations are more influential. So people really do still talk to each other.
They definitely do. I mean, there's two different ways to look at it. One is just the volume. There's 9 times more conversation happening offline than there is online even today. In fact, we've not seen a huge change in that percentage over the last 5 or 6 years that we've been doing our study. And we think one reason is, and we've seen it in the data, there's some shift from email to online social media as a communication tool, but face-to-face continues to be the most important way we communicate with each other. 75% roughly of conversations happen that way when it comes to companies and brands. And another 15% is on the phone, leaving about 10% that happens online.
So how do you track that? How do you understand those conversations that take place face-to-face that you can't measure as easily as online?
We have a survey that we conduct among consumers, nationally representative, aged 13 to 69. We do 100 interviews with a new sample of them every day of the year. So that's 700 a week, 3,000 a month. We're interviewing about 36,000 people in the course of a whole year. And we're asking them to just spend a day with us, a 24-hour period when they keep track of what they talk about in 15 broad categories: automobiles, technology, financial services, beauty, healthcare, and so on. We want them to tell us what companies and brands they're talking about, whether those are positive or negative conversations, and also what influenced the conversation in terms of what they saw or heard somewhere, whether that's on television or radio or any other place that they might have gotten some information that they talked about. And we compile that on a weekly and monthly basis, and we're able to see trends in changes in what people are talking about. Really, the idea is, can we have be a fly on the wall in Americans' homes and offices to have an idea of what they're really talking about?
So much is happening via word of mouth, via conversations between people. Then why do we hear so much about social media's power to change or lead or to dominate the national conversation?
I think there's several reasons for it. One is that it's novel and it's growing fast. I think another factor is this idea that it's visible and that it lasts and that we actually have the chance to communicate from one to many, particularly with Twitter, where you have the opportunity for one person to be followed by thousands, if not more, and then through retweets, maybe they'll get forwarded, you know, indefinitely. So there's this idea that we can generate word of mouth at scale, the marketers like to say. But what we find is that actually people still talk much more face-to-face, and a lot of tweets and posts on Facebook don't get noticed by anybody.
We're talking with Brad Fay. He co-founded the Keller Fay Group. That's a research and consulting company with Ed Keller. Together, they've written the Face-to-Face book, Why Real Relationships Rule in a Digital Marketplace. Tell us about this project, Conversation Nation, which your firm is working on with the National Journal. So what exactly are you tracking?
Well, we thought there was going to be obviously a great deal of interest this year in the important presidential race. While there's a lot of measurement going on of the traditional survey research and polling type, as well as in monitoring social media, we felt there was a missing piece, which is the conversations that happen over the kitchen table, at the water cooler, the real life conversations that people have with each other about this campaign. And so we've been measuring it since the beginning of June, the number of people who are talking each day about the two different campaigns, to get a sense of how that's changing over time and how the dynamics of the conversation are changing over time.
And on the site, the Conversation Nation site, is this dynamic kind of graph of which candidates people have been talking about for the past 24 hours. What do you think is influencing who's in the lead there? Is this television advertising? Is this political gaffes? Is it, you know, big political speeches?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. If you read the national coverage of the campaign, what you'll hear over and over again is how stable the numbers are in terms of who's favoring Obama versus Romney, that almost no matter what it happens, people's vote preference isn't changing all that much. There's not that many people who are, quote, in play, truly independent and undecided. What we find, though, is when you look at conversations, there's a lot more dynamism going on there. It does change week to week as the narrative of the campaign changes. And it's a really terrific way to see how that is evolving. There's two basic measures that we have. One is the amount of conversation that each candidate has, and the other is the degree to which it's positive or negative. What we've been seeing since the beginning of the campaign is that Obama had a big lead in the total amount of conversation. If you were a brand, you'd think that's great, we're dominating the conversation. But what's been happening over the last 2.5 months or so is that Mitt Romney is very gradually catching up. In a marketing sense, we would normally say, okay, this is good for Romney because he's catching up in terms of share of conversation. But actually, I think if you look at the two different campaigns and what their strategies have been, it maybe is a little bit of a concern. Very much the strategies of the candidates have been for Romney to make it a referendum on the Obama presidency, make him the conversation. Romney's just the guy who's the replacement if you decide the current one's not doing a good enough job, whereas the Obama camp has really wanted to make this a choice election. Do you want him or do you want me? And to the extent that Romney's becoming a bigger part of the conversation, it's probably good for the Obama camp. The other measure is positive or negative. Both candidates have a lot to gain on this one. It has been back and forth week to week on positive, negative for both candidates. It has tended to be Obama is about evenly split between positive and negative most of the time. And Romney has tended to be more negative than positive.
And actually, what I'm seeing here from beginning from your initial posts in July, Romney's gaffes made at the time were spiking negative talk, then Obama negative talk sort of eclipsed that. A lot of evidence here that attack ads, they're having their desired intent, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah, you know, when we look at, again, the contrast between marketing brands and marketing candidates is pretty significant. When we look at marketing of brands, we find that conversations are 6-to-1 positive to negative. We don't measure a single category in the U.S. that's got more negative than positive talk. But when we look at politics, it's quite a different thing. And you do see an awful lot of negative conversation. And we do see that a good amount of that's being driven by what people are seeing in television and online.
Which is interesting because, you know, after all of this talk about television being dead as an advertising medium, it looks like TV ads are really influencing opinions.
Yeah, we think this is true both in politics and in consumer marketing, that the death of television was greatly exaggerated, and particularly the death of paid television advertising. In 2006, Advertising Age, a venerable trade publication for the ad industry, declined to name an agency the year they named The Consumer because of consumer-generated videos about brands as if consumers would produce their own advertising in the future and share it online. Well, you know, it's just not the way it's played out.
If this social media continues its meteoric rise, is there any danger, you think, of it chipping away at the value of face-to-face conversation?
I'm skeptical that that will happen. I think fundamentally we need to connect with people. There was a slogan for one of the early successes in this area, a meetup, and it was going online to get offline. And I think that's still going to be a lot of what people want to do. But, you know, it also matters how we as individuals adapt to the social media. If you think about using Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or any of the other tools that are out there as a replacement for being with somebody face to face, it's probably not a good idea for you to do it. But if it's something that you're engaging with at a time you had no choice but to be alone anyway, and it's allowing you to be social during that time, maybe that's a good thing. It really depends what it's replacing. If you are sitting on the sofa watching television with your spouse and you're IMing a friend about what's on TV rather than turning your head and talking to your spouse, that's probably not a good thing.
Brad Fay, so glad you could make it in face-to-face.
Glad to be here, too.
Brad Fay is COO of the Keller Fay Group. That's a word-of-mouth research and consulting company that he co-founded with Ed Keller. Together, they've written the Face-to-Face book. For more on the firm and his book and Conversation Nation, you'll find links at wordofmouthradio.org. A little coda for that segment. After we finished taping with Brad, he and his lovely girlfriend and pinch-hitting photographer, we might add, Jacqueline Carrera, left for the St. Gaudens National Historic Site in Cornish. We oohed and aahed a bit about what a special place it is to visit, and they went on their way. Later, I was touched to get an email from Brad telling me that he had proposed to Jacqueline while at St. Gaudens and that she accepted. Pretty nice to get his note, actually. We're not even Facebook friends. Coming up, Kathy Gunst shares seasonal recipes for an endless summer. That's when word of mouth continues.